This passage from Isaiah is extremely important. In fact, it inspired one of the best books ever written, I think, on religion by a German scripture scholar named Rudolf Otto, entitled Das Heilige, which literally means the holy. Although it's mistranslated in the English title, they called it the idea of the holy. But what Otto was trying to get at was, what does it mean to encounter the holy? So what is going on with this thing with Isaiah? Well, there's some kind of visionary experience in the temple at Jerusalem. And somehow he becomes aware of the presence of God. And the hallmarks of that experience, of that presence, are contained in his response. Namely, it terrifies him. And this is where Otto's book is very useful. He talks about mysterium tremendum, fearful, terrifying, yet simul fascinans, but at the same time fascinating, drawing me to itself. And in this way he distinguishes it from aesthetic experience or moral experience. So what's going on, though, as we have in the text? It brings about a new self-consciousness to Isaiah. He sees himself differently in the presence of this divine reality. He sees himself as a sinful man. But that's not all. I mean, that sounds familiar, you know, from religious rhetoric and propaganda. Where we're all supposed to be regarded as sinners. But he sees himself essentially connected with everybody else. And that's a remarkable thing. It's not just I with this new self-awareness, but this awareness of the whole world. We're all sinful people. And you can't separate, you can't say, well, it's just Isaiah doing his nice little individualistic private, a religious thing, and then everybody else is kind of peripheral. No, it's a whole way of looking at everybody and myself as essentially connected to everybody. And I think Otto had it right. I think that's exactly the sense of any kind of authentic, however you want to refer to it, religious experience. It opens up a new way of understanding oneself and a new way of locating oneself within the world. You can't have one without the other. And the other thing that's notable is this absolutely accusation-free experience. God did not say, "See, Isaiah, you big bozo, you and all those other creeps." No. It's simply being in the presence of this reality that is transformative of Isaiah's sense of himself. There is no accusation. There is no finger pointing. There is no kind of alienative experience. Except in this very limited sense, I see that I am alien from myself and from everybody else and from God. In that sense, it is a kind of positive alienation. I am unworthy. I am a man of unseen lips, of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Then the final thing notable about this, it galvanizes Isaiah into a whole different way of living. Send me. Send me. And the steps are not separable. I see myself newly. I see the world newly. I see my absolutely involvement in absolute involvement in the world, and that moves me to go on, to do something, to respond to that. And I don't know. I presume the people who picked this reading from Luke, where the structure of the experience is exactly the same with Peter. What historically happened? We don't know. I think the majority of scholars would agree that this is probably a post-resurrection experience that's retrojected back into the pre-resurrection experience of the apostles. I mean, if you read the Gospel of John with that famous 21st chapter where they're out fishing and they collect exactly 153 fish, that their nets are breaking, and this greater word, it is the Lord. So Peter, naked, jumps in the water and swims ashore. And we had the same kind of response. The thought being that if this is post-resurrection, then Peter's awareness of his own sinfulness, that in the presence of Jesus, he becomes aware again of his betrayal. I am a guilty man. I am a sinful man. But you notice the structure is the same. Don't be afraid. That is fearful, and yet it absolutely draws me. And also energizes Peter to go do something new in the face of this experience. Send me. So it is, I think, extraordinarily important. I think Otto had his finger exactly on the foundational religious reality. I think this is, and this alone really constitutes authentic religiosity. That is that kind of awareness. I mean, we don't have to be hit with a vision, a visionary experience, but without some awareness that in the face of what is most real in the world, I come up short. I come up short. In other words, it's like all religious experience is liberating. To what does it liberate? To the truth of myself. To the truth of myself, and to the truth of myself in the world, as a member of the world. And then this final stage, this points me into how I am to live my life, into what I am to do with my life. You go and testify to this reality, again, in the same non-accusatory, non-finger-pointing way. So we come up again with that wonderful synthesis of this whole thing from the great Cardinal Archbishop of Paris during the Second World War, Emmanuel Suard, where he says, to live one's life in such a way that one's life would not make sense if God did not exist. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. And this is where it takes off from.